Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with our good friend Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. We will post a link below this interview where you can follow along with a lot of Sean's recent articles, which, in all fairness, Sean, you cover a wide range of sectors and you dive down into the companies and provide actual recommendations. I want to start this off with more of a general question regarding some sectors that you are encouraged or bullish on now that we're in 2022, and preferably some of these sectors that really haven't gotten much love, especially last year. And maybe some analysts would be looking at these sectors saying, the sentiment just isn't there. What do you think, Sean? What are some sectors that you like this year now?
Okay, well, first of all, Happy New Year. So glad to be talking to you guys early on in January, because I think this could be a pretty interesting month. Before we get to, underloved sectors, I just want to point out that we saw a lot of basic materials get trashed at the end of 2021 because everyone was worried about the Omicron virus. I was telling my subscribers that the world's becoming more resilient to new variants of the virus. So don't panic. Don't panic sell anything. And sure enough, as you and I talk, I mean, my portfolios are doing great today. Lithium, iron, steel, copper, oil and gas, even gold miners, they're doing great. And so just to transition to what underloved sectors, what underloved industries do I think could do very well? Well, precious metals is one of them. It had a terrible 2021, but all the basic underlying fundamentals that support a gold and silver bull market are there. Lack of new discoveries, continued global demand, growing middle class in Asia, which has a cultural affinity to gold. And so there's a lot of bullish stuff for the precious metals. And we can talk about, you know, all the governments of the world just printing money like there's no tomorrow. You want some kind of solid money. That works in there too, though it hasn't worked yet. Then, I have to say, I think one reason people are less bullish on gold now than they were, say, middle of last year, if that's possible, is because they are worried about the Fed hiking interest rates. And I understand that, because as the Fed hikes interest rates, bonds pay more, gold doesn't have a yield, and so the general opinion is that's not a good time to own gold. However, if you look at the previous two interest rate hiking cycles, gold did very well during those cycles, because the same reasons, the same things that are driving interest rates higher drive gold higher. You know, it's a whole bunch of stuff. So I think 2022 could be very good for gold, and especially for silver. Now, I was telling you guys before we got on the air, silver really irks me sometimes, because the thing can develop a bleeding wound in a marshmallow factory, right? No matter what the news is, it seems to hurt silver. But when silver turns bullish, and I'm old enough, I've seen this happen a couple of times, when silver turns bullish, it runs. And so I think you need to be in it to win it, and people should be positioning themselves in great stocks, which, as chance would have it, were beaten down to a pulp last year. Now, we have seen the better stocks trending higher for the last 2 months. So you aren't buying them at their lows, but you're buying them near their lows. And that's as good a time to buy as any. Just don't chase anything. You know, there will be pullbacks, and just get some positions ready, because gold and silver should take off. The other one that I think people should look at, and I just made a recommendation to my Supercycle Investor subscribers on this one, would be solar, another sector that was beaten down last year, at the end of last year, starting in November. And what happened? Well, we saw the supply chain issues. You know, there are definitely solar companies that were impacted by supply chain issues and still continue to be impacted by those. The other is that, like some other industries, but especially for solar, it depends on federal subsidies for its industry. And there are existing subsidies. They were extended in the Build Back Better bill. And then that ran into an iceberg named Joe Manchin. So we may or may not have the Build Back Better bill. However, the solar subsidies can be extended without him. And I think that's probably going to be happening anyway. Heck, Texas is one of the biggest solar states in the country. There's plenty of bipartisan support for that. So I expect that will eventually happen. That will help solar. And also I expect that the supply chain issues will work out. Meanwhile, there are great solar stocks trading near 52-week lows. And so if you're looking for something to buy in this overpriced market, you might want to look at solar.
Well, Sean, that's an interesting setup. And I'll try to tie the two together there, the precious metals and solar, with a kind of a topic we had discussed off mic a little bit. And that is, a lot of people believe that silver's number one driver being solar panels, part of the reason it was crimped last year was not just the precious metal side and monetary side and the Fed policy side, but it was also the industrial side. And as you just mentioned, with so many supply chain issues and with so many industries stuck in between and not being able to build and manufacture the way they planned, do you think that this buildup in solar and this resurgence in solar could also be a driver for silver?
Yeah, well, it could. Just people have to keep in mind that previously there were projections that the solar boom would push silver demand much, much higher. But what happened was those people that make solar power equipment became much more efficient in their use of silver. They were able to stretch out their demand and so not need as much silver. And I have to think probably the low-hanging fruit is gone, but they will get more efficient over time. So there will be more demand from the solar power industry. It could be a big driver in it. It just might not be as big as the huge silver bulls are telling you. Nonetheless, that could be an important factor. Could be the fact that each year now we are mining less silver from the ground. We've hit peak silver already. Could be the fact that silver is so darn cheap, nobody in their right mind looks for a silver mine except for some people I know. and like you know too. They are coming up with some great stuff because they can pick up land on the cheap because nobody wants a silver mine. So really, it has all the ingredients for some really interesting things to happen in the silver market. That's why I think it's one to watch for this year and why it's one place that I'll be recommending my subscribers put some money to work because it's so darn cheap right now.
Sean, let's talk about at least some of the characteristics of the stocks you're looking for, starting with some of the precious metal stocks. If you think gold miners are going to do well, let's take the opinion or at least look ahead and say, maybe we won't get in that environment where every stock moves higher. Hopefully we do, because then everybody's winning that's invested. But those are very rare instances. And that then leads to, you need to select the stocks that you think could outperform the market, even if gold doesn't move higher or silver doesn't move higher. What are some of the characteristics that you are looking for? And feel free to include any stocks that you like as well, please.
Sure. Well, one thing I'm not looking for is like single project miners. I've learned the hard way that can be really awful. You know, because when something goes wrong on a project and at least half of all mining projects have some kind of serious problem, that can really hammer you. So I'm not looking for single project miners. I like some with like multiple projects in the pipeline. I like strong management that has succeeded before and has succeeded before in the jobs they're doing. For example, if you get a geologist who's a well-known geologist and he has, let's say that he retired from his previous job, but he has one project that he's always wanted to develop. And so he, you know, gets the money and scrapes it together and gets working on it. The odds against him are so high because he hasn't had that kind of position before. He hasn't had to be CEO. And let me tell you the thing about geologists, they love to drill. They will drill and drill and drill until the cows come home. It's the money guys, the guys who can say, okay, this is what we have to accomplish, and here's the amount of money you have, and by God, do your best to get that done. Those are the guys that will actually deliver performance for you. It's also nice to have visible gold, but then again, how often do you see visible gold anymore? How often do you see that kind of stuff? Now, I can think of projects where you do, but they're rare. They're rare, and so that's one reason I like them. And they don't necessarily have to have visible gold and silver. That's the point that I'm trying to make, but that's icing on the cake, because that's something you can actually show to potential investors, especially the big money guys, and say, look what we got. We get something few people have. That's really nice. So that brings me to the next point. Something unique about their projects. What's unique about this company? What makes them stand out? Because all these companies are standing in the line begging the big investors for money. What's going to make them stand out against the others, right? And so these are the things that you have to think about right now. And I can think of a whole bunch of things. And I don't actually want to recommend any stocks to your subscribers right now. Come back in 2 weeks and I'll give you some, because I'm about to make some recommendations and I haven't made them yet. That's the thing. So I don't want to give those up right now. There's a bunch of really good ones. Actually, I can give you one. All right. Which one should I give you guys? That's a good question. Well, let's talk about Maple Gold Mines. Okay. That's one. It has this project and it's gone into partnership with a big company. So it's nice to have big friends. That actually brings up another point. If you can find a explorer or a developer that has an interesting enough project, like I said, if it has some unique appeal, if it has an interesting enough thing going for it that a big company really gets interested in it, that's great, because then the big company will invest money in the project and carry the little guy along, at least if they do the actual deal right. So I think that that's one that could do really well this year. There are others, and I'm about to make some picks to like subscribers and like all my services, because as I said, you know, I am kind of eating my own cooking. I think this is going to be a really good year for gold and silver. So this is the time when you want to be involved in these companies, because they got hammered flat last year. No one likes gold and silver right now. So this, at least from a contrarian perspective, and for other reasons as well, this is a great time to actually look at that industry.
Well, Sean, it seems like we caught you at a good time where you haven't made some of these recommendations yet to your subscribers, which means you're looking at acquiring now while they're beaten down, while they're not loved. Let me ask you a question. A lot of times when we see a turn in the sector, we'll notice that producers and royalty companies will get a bid first as generalists come back in. Let's say that the gold price and silver price pick back up. You know, that starts getting people's attention for the big boys. But then money will trickle down into the development plays like you just outlined. And then also, eventually, people get very excited about the exploration plays and who may pop next. Do you have a preference as far as how you enter the markets when you believe there is a turn in the sector, as far as how you position and which stage a company? Or is it just about the specific story itself?
No, you actually raise a really good point. Right now, we own a couple of producers already, because those are the ones that actually get the money first. Then you get to the developers and like stuff like that, which is actually where I'll be looking to add positions for my subscribers upcoming. Gold explorers, silver explorers, they tend to follow, but when they move, they can move really, really fast. So you don't want to ignore them completely either. Definitely have a few picks there as well. But one word of caution I would add to all this is that precious metals should be a part of your portfolio, but I wouldn't make it the biggest part. It's not the biggest part of my personal portfolio. And I try to emphasize this to my subscribers that I love precious metals. I really do. But you can't make that the only thing that you focus on. There's too much else going on, too many other ways to make money. And even though I think gold's going to have a good year, that's not the only way we're investing this year. There's a lot of other good things too.
Very good comment there, Sean, and we're going to wrap it up on that point, because you are right. It's very risky being all in any sector, let alone a sector like gold and silver. And unfortunately, well, a lot of those investors saw how difficult it was last year. However, look, there were some winners, but yeah, there's a lot of other sectors out there, and a couple too many people, I think, fall in love with just one sector, especially precious metals. But that's a lot of investors out there as well. Sean, it's great chatting with you, man. We love hearing what you have to say, and even that unexpected company recommendation that you gave. So, Sean, thank you very much, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thanks. You too.